Chapter 104. Celeste truly believed that Ron would be in a severe hangover state this morning, after losing his credit card under the table at which the four of them had gone to dinner. He had drunk more and gotten to the state where him passing out was a distinct possibility. He had avoided that, but finding out the waitress' name was Sarah, he launched into an uncontrollable and badly mangled version of the Bob Dylan song by the same name. Celeste remembered Steve smiling like a Cheshire cat, and Connie whispering to Celeste, "I tried to warn him about drinking with Steve." When she woke up this morning and reached for him, he was gone. And so were both dogs. Fitzgerald not being there when she woke up startled her. A few minutes later, she found his note. Went to bakery, took the dogs. She wished he had saved this maiden voyage for a time when he was feeling better. She was sitting at the table having coffee when she heard the dogs and the door and sets of paws coming up the stairs. She smiled and thought her baby was okay, and that Keats had given up on the idea that he could just kill him and be done with the nuisance. She had to admit that Keats had actually accepted Fitzgerald, and even showed him an occasional tenderness. "How are you feeling?" asked Celeste. "I feel fine," said Ron. "You feel fine? Do you realize how drunk you got last night?" "Yeah," said Ron. "I was pretty plastered. It was a great night, though." Celeste was incredulous. "And you feel fine today?" "Yes," said Ron. "I took the dogs to the bakery and we got bagels and lox and the paper. Two stops, not one squabble. Fitz whimpers when I get out of the car, though." Celeste was annoyed. A person who got that drunk should have to pay. It seemed like a scam that he got off scot-free. She could tell he wasn't faking. He was okay. Not totally unexpectedly, Angel arrived, carrying her basket of laundry. Ron wondered if all adult children picked Sunday mornings to visit their parents. He had done it. Celeste told him that she had done it. Here was Angel. "I feel like a duck who's been fucked with a firecracker," said Angel. Everyone was silent, except for Fitzgerald, who padded over happily. Keats heard her tone and sensed the tension in Ron and Celeste and kept his distance. "Fritz," said Angel. She bent out to pet him. "What happened?" said Ron. "Did you go to the Preakness?" "Oh, I went to the Preakness. I'm just going to run downstairs and throw these clothes in," said Angel. "I really don't want to talk about it." "Do you want me to slice you a bagel?" said Ron. "Yes, please," said Celeste. "And then, if you'll do my wrists?" She walked to the ringing phone and picked it up as he sliced three bagels. They were all sesame, so it didn't matter, except for the pumpernickel that he'd gotten Celeste to begin to apologize for being a complete ass last night. "Hi, Chris," said Celeste. "Yeah, I think we're going to be home. Sure, we'd love to see you." "Chris is coming over," said Celeste. "Sundays aren't quiet anymore, are they?" said Ron. Celeste sat down to fix her bagel and look at the newspaper. "You have no schedule, no meetings, and no crusades to mount." "Sure, it's a quiet day." They laughed as Angel came back upstairs. "This apprenticeship is another word for slave labor." Ron and Celeste both smiled. It was true. "You're like the roadie," said Ron. "I'm like two steps below a roadie. I'm lucky. I get to kiss a roadie's ass, posited Angel. Have some breakfast, said Ron. It was on this third visit that Chris coaxed Ron into picking up his guitar. He first asked to see it. Then he tuned it. Then he played it, handed it to Ron. It felt both familiar and strange in his hands. He stretched his fingers and strummed a few chords, then put it down. I don't know, said Ron. I really haven't got any time to practice. Celeste doesn't like my guitar playing, and she barely tolerates my voice. Celeste didn't mean to hear this from the kitchen, but she did. She wondered if he meant it, or if he was just deflecting Chris. Chris said, I want to play this lead that I've been working on for The Woman I Love Said Goodbye. He gestured down at the guitar. Just play the chords. Later, Chris met with Celeste in the kitchen. Do you have some Valium still? He had changed the drug. Celeste was prepared to tell him that she had no more Oxy, but he asked for something that she had plenty of and probably would not ever be needing again. I have some, but they're 6 years old, back from when Ron got sick. I don't know if they're still any good. Chris snapped his fingers and smiled. Shelf life of Valium is at least 7 years.